January. There is so much pressure in January and I can feel the heat. I know our clients can feel the heat.
It's been pretty cold.
Yeah, that's very contradicting.
And I think it's one of those times where we think about what's worked from the previous year, what we're going to do for the year ahead, what are those predictions, those trends, those, you know, what platforms are changing, what are the algorithms doing? And what we're seeing from brands right now is actually it's not about doing more, it's about aligning and doing the right activities. And we talk about that quite a lot, but we're back. Episode 16.
My God, are we at 16?
I know. 6 months deep.
6 months into Fueling Foodies podcast, I cannot believe it.
That's pretty impressive.
How does it feel?
I really want to know who's like been listening since the start.
So I've heard a few comments of some of our lovely listeners, and every time I get an email, I'm like, oh, it's literally amazing to hear that people find this really useful because that's why we started it.
Yeah, we do love to chat, but we're not just chatting for the sake
of it. No, we're here to give those insights, give that help, show people that actually marketing in food and drink isn't as difficult as it needs to be, and there's loads of buzzwords out there and we just want to break it down. So when I get emails, I actually had one last week of a lady that said she was on a plane on the way back from Ireland to coming back to the UK.
Perfect time for an episode.
Yeah. No, but she did three back to back and she was like, it was amazing. And I was like, oh, this is so cool.
Good going.
I guess it's easy to not really think that it gives that much insight when you're sat in it.
Yeah, I think as well, it's like, it's not overly insight to us, is it? Because we know it. So sometimes it's kind of
it's
like...
It's not new. It's
actually knowing...
It's almost like we think it's common knowledge.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's kind of like refreshing that actually what we do know is educational to people. And it's quite nice to know that, like, you know, we are making sense when we talk.
I mean, we're experts, Laura.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's kind of, the thing is, when you're doing it all day, every day, you kind of don't think of yourself as, you just think, like Phoebe said, it's common knowledge.
No, we are
but
experts.
That's the thing. You
field.
Kind of remind yourself and you're like, oh, I do know my stuff, don't I?
Yeah, we are experts. And okay, so January, we're planning for the new year and we are talking to loads of our clients right now. Okay, so the majority are founders of food and drink brands. They feel overwhelmed. There's so many platforms. There's so many options. Yeah. There's so many people reaching out to them via email going, we can help you with your marketing. And I get that sense of noise for them as well. And it is so crazy and so busy out there. And what I thought would be really useful is if we just break that down a little bit. And I know that we internally at KW have obviously been looking at things that we're going to do differently in 2026, things that actually we've learned from what's happening with whether it's algorithms, whether platforms are changing, what you need to focus on. And actually, I think today's episode, focusing on that, is a really good place to start the year with. And we've just had a storm this week. I know this is going to go out a couple of weeks later, but we've had a storm today.
We have had a lot going on.
Feels really cold. People have had snow.
People have like, I heard on the radio on the drive in that someone's chimney fell through their roof.
Right, but we're still here and we're
still
here.
But we've made it. Yeah, I'm going to say, I was like, jeez.
We're still here to give insight. So let's start with one of the biggest things that we've been talking about in the first sort of few weeks of January. And that is around paid ads. So bear in mind, in quarter four, we used and worked paid ads really hard for our clients. And we were really tactile with them. You know, it's really easy to see that return. But what is happening with paid ads going into 2026, Laura?
So this one's a massive one. And it's not just paid ads, I'll make it really clear. Like, it is across all marketing, kind of any kind of advertisement, that is, that the HFSS, which is...
High fat, salt, sugar products.
Our specialist here who did it at uni, has put in the law now that came into action from the 5th of January. So you've probably seen it. It's been on the news and stuff as well because it affects TV ads, that you cannot advertise any kind of fast food, high fats, sugars, salt products before 9 p.m. So it's really cutting off that limit. So that's on TV. They can't go out before 9 p.m. Whereas paid ads, there is now that same strict rule that actually there cannot be. So you'll... McDonald's is a really easy one to use because obviously they're massive. Everyone knows who McDonald's are. They cannot directly say, like, we sell Coca-Cola.
They can't advertise
a Big
Mac.
You can't advertise it between those hours or on TV, which also affects, like, will you see their billboards? Will you see, like, their emails? Like, will things still run the same? Because it's now you have to look into how to advertise your products, which are the high fat, salt, sugar products.
Yeah.
Because People still have them. People still sell them.
Mm-hmm.
How do you change the marketing method around them? Because obviously now you can't do those paid ads piece because Meta has put the ban on it with in line with the law. So it has TikTok. They've made it really clear. They actually sent out an email to everyone just like, look, this won't happen. Even content creators cannot do paid ads for this in this time. So it makes a massive shift that this isn't just impacting the brands directly. Content creators and influencers are going to have to change their tactic as well there. So yeah, it's now, okay, well, we still want to run paid ads, but how can we run them that isn't directly saying, what's my product?
So is it fair to say that where paid ads would have previously patched up a brand mm-hmm. and got a brand to mass market yeah. with budget, is it fair to say that now that's not enough? And actually, you need stronger foundations than just turning on ads.
Yeah, I think it's really important to say that just because you can't advertise them on paid ads and TV ads and things like that, you can still put them on your organic. So you can still have, for example, McDonald's can still post their Big Mac on their Instagram, for example. So that is still allowed. It is just that paid kind of forced advertising that is banned on
and
it.
Is that including boosting?
Yep.
Okay.
So you can't put any money basically behind this form of advertising for these products that are
okay
that fall within the restriction. So that's not saying that, like I said, it's not saying that you cannot advertise your brand. So it's yeah, a case so like, of thinking
from
differently.
McDonald's again, for example, I think that they're able to showcase, you know, kind of who they are and what yeah. they stand for and stuff, but it's just more product specific that they can't.
Yeah,
you can't. Unless it's like, you know, their carrot bags and all the healthiest yeah. options that they okay. have got.
Yeah, it so is it is more a case so just... you can say like, oh, you know, here's our brand, our storytelling piece. So that's mm-hmm. where storytelling across ads may start to kind of have that shift that it's subtly had. We've seen kind of founder-led content, influencer-led content being yeah. a lot more kind of profitable. But it's now a case of actually that is a lot of brands for a lot of their products. Say you own a sweet business, that is all of your products fall mm-hmm. under that category. So how are you going to advertise your sweet business?
Yeah.
Actually, okay, well, let's slip it to who the brand is. Let's yeah. tell the brand story. Let's introduce the founder. Let's really
what
highlight the
on?
Business, not just individual products.
And the people behind
and
the business.
And the people, yeah.
Which is really important. Yeah.
There was a cap, wasn't there, on employee amount for
yeah,
who's...
so that was TikTok. I'm not 100% if that applies to everyone, but TikTok Shop have said that if you have under 230 employees, that doesn't apply. So you can still advertise on TikTok, but check different platforms will have different restrictions. And
fine.
As a blanket, you are safer by kind of abiding by it as a rule anyway, because people will be more aware. People are going to notice the kind of products that are being advertised
yeah.
that shouldn't be, so it's not worth it. Even if you do fall under that bracket, can you just it's a really good way to make you start thinking, because again, if the bigger brands are going to be advertising yeah. differently, hang on, there's going to be a massive shift, because if those big brands, the leaders are doing it, there's a reason, and it's going to work. People are going to notice it more from them. So it's the shift that's now, well, okay, this is actually a rethink in the way marketing and paid ads work.
So from an organic perspective, mm-hmm. what does that mean, or what do we think we're going to see going into 2026? Are we going to see more organic content that is going to have call to actions on them? Are we going to go back? I'm going to say backwards as well, because I think if we go back 2 or 3 years, organic content was very much like click here, do this, yeah. do that, do this. And I feel as though we've come away from that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Are we going to see that go backwards?
I hope not. Okay. And I hope that we don't go back to like just purely product led on brand social. So just think it's come so much further. And I think
it'll lose its touch.
It'll lose it, and it'll make those organic posts feel too salesy. And then
you lose the trust.
You lose
within
that.
Your consumers.
And yeah. And why would you then just flip your organic to something that is working? Like doing that more natural thing is working, because that is what people go to. Social media is so oversaturated that. Should we then try and change something that's working? Like there's always every 2 seconds there's this is how you yeah. win on TikTok, this is how you win on Instagram. But actually stick to what works for you. Don't go changing it just
and
because
your audience.
Exactly. Don't
yeah.
go changing
well, yeah, they're
following
it you already.
Just because
you
of
wanna...
yeah, don't change because oh well I need to change how I do paid advertising, so that means I massively need to change this and this and this. Stick to your lane and know what works for you, and yeah. that will help you grow and tailor the other things. Don't go changing things at work, basically. Yeah.
So what we're saying is what used to be or could have been for your brand a bit of a safety net,
yeah,
with paid, mm-hmm, whether that's ads, whether that's boosting, however you were getting your content out with some form of advertising behind it, is now no longer that safety net.
No, if you fall under that category,
it
isn't the best way to be like, oh, we need to get it
really
that's
fast.
Not saying it isn't the best way, because you can still do ads differently, but if you are, when it gets to like Q4 and you've got, you know, massive chocolate bars to sell, are you necessarily going to be able to go, look at this giant chocolate bar we now sell? No, you're not. So yeah, it's thinking about how you can get your products differently, which again, but you can get people in from your ads advertising your business, and you can sell that giant chocolate bar over emails.
Now let's talk about emails.
So hey, there we
no,
go.
I'm joking. We're not
emails. I was like, hang on, wait.
What? How long does it take before it comes up?
I know, and I did it this time. What on earth?
So that probably takes us really nicely onto talking about growth. So yeah, going into any new year, we hear all of those buzzwords around strategy. You know, what are the goals? What are the growth goals? What are the targets? What are this? What are that? And I think what we're saying is, going into 2026, it's about quality growth over loud growth. Mm-hmm. And we have seen years where loud growth has been a focus.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let's go viral. That's going to make us millions. And actually, we're now seeing people coming back to us going, we went viral and it didn't make us millions.
It helped for like 5 minutes. Yeah. And then we had a massive crash.
So that loud growth has been a consistent phrase that we've, yeah, that we've had a lot of the time. And going into 2026, quality growth is really important. And what do we mean by quality growth?
Your retained growth, right?
Yeah.
So all your retained customers and all of your audience that you keep and you own,
yeah,
you want keep coming back to you and keep selling to and keep buying, rather than dragging in new customers that kind of don't really stick around, go off and try someone else,
yeah,
like in that middle space.
Yeah. And I think that then starts those questions around, you know, in your owned audience. And when we're talking owned audience, we are actually talking about email, aren't,
yeah,
we? Because email, yeah, is at the heart of your marketing sort of element, if you like. But when we're talking about that, we're talking about, are they the right customers that we've got, number one? Mm-hmm. Are they
your target audience?
Your target audience. Are they buying the right things? Are they doing what we want them to do when, mm-hmm, they're in,
are
our,
they spending,
website?
You know, buying one product, or are they spending and
are they
buying
only
multiple products?
Once a year to buy, yeah, at Christmas, things,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
that.
Are they Easter, Christmas, yeah, birthdays? Right.
Yeah. And most importantly, and I think one thing that is quite often overlooked, is, are they as customers profitable? Are they, yeah, making you money? Or by the time you've discounted them 20% to get them in via a pop-up, or given them 10% off discount,
they've run with
email,
the discount and never come back,
then your profit's just completely gone.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about quality growth, they're all the things that we need to be answered.
Yeah.
Are your customers the right customers? Are you targeting the right people? Are you, when you're acquiring new people, are the people that are coming in, are they the right people?
Yeah.
And also, most importantly, are they making you profit?
Mm-hmm.
Really important. And then when we talk about other things around quality growth, so email marketing, there's so many different metrics that you can use within email. But I think one of the biggest metrics that I think we're going to see into 2026 that will become a focus is your lifetime customer value.
Yeah.
So that's thinking about, my name's Kate Williams, I'm within a set brand, say we've got a chocolate brand, like Laura just gave that example, and I'm going to be with you for 5 years, I'm going to purchase every 3 months, they're going to be these products, and I'm going to spend this much on average every order. And we work with some really powerful platforms, whether that's Shopify, whether that's Klaviyo. Those platforms give you those insights.
Yeah.
And those are the insights and those are the metrics that going into 2026 are going to be really, really important. Because again, what we heard a lot of from our clients in Q4 was, we're busier than ever, we're doing more marketing than ever, you know, oh, it's great that we're acquiring new customers, but are we going to get them to come back and shop?
Yeah.
That's where your email is so important.
So powerful in Q1 as well,
yeah,
isn't it?
Because you can't just market. Okay, so again, another really good example. If you are a seasonal business,
yeah,
and say you sell chocolate at Christmas, and actually the rest of the year you then don't sell a lot of your product.
Yeah.
What happens to your customers when you go into Q1 to Q3?
Exactly.
you need to
they're
keep
still there
to
like
them.
they're still there. They've had an interest in your brand.
You can't just go back at Q4 next year and be like, and make, we're here.
Yeah, because then they'll be like, I've actually had emails and ads and everything from 7 other chocolate brands mm-hmm. that I've then become way more interested in.
Yeah,
I'm
familiar
so
with.
Actually,
it's top of mind, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's just because, again, you'd be surprised. Like, think, everyone has birthdays.
Yeah.
So you'd, how many people are you emailing? They go, oh, actually, you know, my auntie's birthday is next week. What do I get her? Oh, that chocolate brand that I got given for, or I bought for my dad for Christmas
yeah.
would be great for my auntie. Like, it's then making people go, like, refer back to you as their point of call for gifting. If you are a gifting focused business,
yeah.
how do you make people think of you all through the year for various gifts? Like,
yeah. And then also you could use automation for that as well.
Yeah.
So post-purchase habits, your post-purchase journey could seed over a 9-month period.
Yeah.
You know, if you are a gifting business or you're seasonal, and actually September to December is your key time to trade, could you create automations that are just going to seed your customers and not having to then do, oh, I'm going to do a weekly newsletter that's going to take me loads of time
yeah.
and I'm not actually making any money. Actually, if you do the bulk legwork at the beginning, you could rely on your automation to fill yeah. the gaps. So quality growth is really important, and knowing which channels to use for that is also really important.
Yeah.
And at the heart of that is your customer database, which is your email marketing and your yep. retention tool. That's it. It's that easy.
It's that simple, isn't it?
Do you know? It's so easy, isn't it?
Right, you're doing it. It's that easy,
when you
guys.
Say it like that, it's so funny, isn't it? And we all know how much I love to talk about email.
I was going to say, yeah, I don't know where you pulled that one from. Just from.
No. And then the third point that I think is massive, or I know is going to be massive.
I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Then could you know?
I know. Is trust.
Yeah.
And we talk about trust all the time. It's going back to, are you a founder-led brand where you're talking from the founder to your customers, or are you a brand that's talking directly to thousands of people? How can you use trust? And that trust metric, again, is going to be really, really key in 2026. And what do we mean by that when we talk about trust? How can we show trust?
I
feel like I'm putting you,
giving
you a trick
question. I think
it's
a lot about just the honesty that you show in your brand and behind it.
Yeah,
see,
I think that does
your brand,
it does it? Come a lot down to organic socials, I think, in the way that there's more freedom to do it.
I think the key's in the word, isn't it? It's organic.
Yeah.
It's real.
And
yeah.
that is the massive trend shift at the moment, is all of the behind the scenes and that kind of content that people want to be seeing is being shown on socials now, whether it's Instagram and TikTok and things.
Yeah.
So I think it's largely down to just being real.
Yeah.
Because I think people didn't really used to have access to that. And now more people are shifting. There's a difference between, you know, you and your competitor with how much you're showing off your brand behind it.
Yeah.
That people are then going to lean into, oh, well, they're being real, really real and honest.
Yeah.
I know that kind of what I'm getting from them is what they're selling me at the end of
and
the day.
And I've seen a really big thing to like kind of add on to that. Over the last few years, we've seen a massive shift with influencers, and where the micro influencers have really kind of taken control.
Because they're not directly selling as harshly,
but,
are they?
It's become so oversaturated that now it's predicted, and I kind of can see it happening, that actually the macro influencers, so the big time ones, are actually going to start kind of creeping back in and being a bit more prominent, because actually where people could trust the micro influencers, that's kind of shifted because everyone wants to be one. It's so easy to just, you know.
Laura, aren't you an influencer?
No, I just like to post about what I wear. There's a very big difference.
She's cringing.
There's a very big difference. I'm just slating everything here.
I was just thinking then, I'm pretty sure.
No, I just like to post about what
okay,
I wear.
Okay, go. Go, go. Keep going.
Not about food and drink. It's very boring. Don't worry. But yeah, there's a really big shift that actually people have kind of gone, that's actually really oversaturated. It's so easy for brands to kind of buy content creators and stuff like that. And that's not saying there isn't a place for them. There's definitely still a really, really big place for them. It is just a case of how are they used? Where's that trust sitting? And if brands have repeat contracts with like the bigger influencers, you know that like influencers now know the importance of picking brands that they want to work with. And again, influencers know how important it is to have trust in themselves, with having their followers trust them. So
yeah.
That's again, that ties really nicely into brands showing up and being honest. Influencers need to start doing the same. So if you're working with influencers, build that relationship with ones you trust as well.
And I think that goes really nicely into consumer behavior and thinking about how that's changed as well, because I think consumers are shopping differently now. They're doing more research. They like, exactly like you say, Phoebe, they want to see that behind the scene content. Who's real, who's not real, who's, you know, I want to know who the founder is. I want to know if they've got a dog or a child.
It's the value that you get from that as well, isn't it? You're not just buying into the purchase at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You're not just getting the chocolate bar. You're getting everything behind it and that comes with it.
Yeah. And that trust is now no longer a nice to have. It's a massive
lever. It's an essential.
It is an essential when you're thinking about brands and trying to build a brand and grow a brand. Trust is so important.
I would say you'd probably put traffic under trust at this point. I feel like you can have the volume of people coming in, but going back to the whole email piece.
Yeah.
And your growth. If they're not going to be your retained customers, then there's no value in who you're actually attracting. Yeah.
And that's why we're now saying that trust is going to be a performance metric going into 2026.
100%, yeah.
Because it is going to take over things like traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, it's better for people to trust you, to value you, to, you know, to think that you are amazing and have an engaged audience versus I've had thousands of people visit my website, but actually what are they going to do?
Yeah, what are they going to do? Yeah.
And it's the word of mouth at the end of the day as well, isn't
it?
Yeah, like what are your customers going to be saying about you?
How many times, like, I now go into Tesco, for example, and go, oh, I've seen them on socials, or they're founded in a really funny video the other day, or I've seen them on TikTok. Like, it's seeing people show up. And I'm like pointing out brands. I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen them there and I've seen them there. I'd more like to buy them than like the old school brands like that I know of.
Yeah.
For an example, when I think about like my matcha, as I've mentioned.
And I think
before.
Of people that we've worked with, not even directly as our clients, but like through our clients.
Yeah.
Oh, it's even that it's just like when you've had a bit more insight into them and their...
When you know more. But yeah, like for example, yeah, when I go and buy my matcha, I've been talking to you about it, like I need to buy a new matcha, but I'm so invested in Perfect Ted Matcha because I love their growth on LinkedIn, but I also love seeing them show up on like TikTok and things. So I really am invested in that brand.
It's like cheating.
So actually,
on
I
them
feel like I'm like, oh, I don't want to buy another one because I really like that brand.
Yeah.
And again, that's
loyalty.
Me. They've built that trust that I'm like, I go back to them time and time again because I trust them. And I
know what
good.
You're getting.
I know
you?
What I'm getting. I know it's good value. And I'm buying something that like I actually believe in. Like I've seen the founder's growth. So I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to buy that because that's really cool. They've really worked for that.
Yeah, and they've worked really hard for
Worked really hard. Yeah. And whereas a brand that is kind of faceless, that I don't know their story, I'm like, oh, it could be really good, but I don't know why it's really good. Yeah. And I don't feel like a connection with the founder. I'm not connected with them on LinkedIn.
Like, I think that's more with like a lot of the household brands, isn't it?
Yeah.
That kind of everyone grew up with. And now you've got all these like fun challenger brands coming in being like...
That's where like the new generations are starting to actually go, oh, hang on. Why have I always bought, you know, PG Tips tea? It's because my mum had it and my nan had it. Well, actually.
I also feel like even older
brands?
Generations are now like, even older generations are going into a supermarket now and seeing something in comparison to what they've been buying for like the last 30, 40 years. And they're like, oh, I want to maybe try something new.
Yeah. And again, it's where you build your trust, isn't it? It's where you feel safe. Yeah.
And then what does that look like in practice? How do you build trust within a brand? So obviously you brought up influencers.
Yeah.
How else can you use it? So what about, and my first example is Instagram stories, because it's so easy for founders and, you know, whether you're showing up as content creator on a brand's feed to just jump on a story.
Yeah.
That is such a good way of building trust.
I actually had this conversation with one of our clients the other day that they were like, well, I still don't really get stories. Like, they disappear. What's the point of them? And I'm like, oh my God, they're so valuable. Because
it's the fun of the fact they disappear. It's not permanent.
They don't have to stay. Like, you can just be a bit more loose. It doesn't need to be so thought out. It can just be like something that comes to the top of your mind. You think, oh, that's really cool. I'm going to show that. And it's...
And if anybody watches our KW stories, Laura and Phoebe are on there all the time.
I'm probably posting my dog. And Phoebe's probably posting her cat. Like, honestly, it's riveting stuff. Like,
what new position are they lying in today?
I'm going to say, has my dog decided that she loves my heated blanket? Yes, she has.
Oh, my God. So, stories, though, and stories and funneling.
Yeah.
So that, again, works really well. And what do I mean by funneling? I mean, how can you get a follower into your email world using stories?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can get direct links on your stories, which you can't do on feed posts.
And I'm so much more likely that if I'm scrolling through stories... That I'll be like, oh, what
committed.
Are they talking about? I'll have a look.
I feel like you're less committed to the scroll. You're not you're not as in the app. Like, if you're going through stories, you're more like, that's a quick, like, I'm going to head somewhere soon.
Like, oh, I can just have a look and then I can...
So it means, I feel like it's not as a permanent thing. So if you did come across a link that you're kind of interested in or like story ads, then you can be sent elsewhere because you're not tied into what you're looking at, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like story ads recently for me have been getting me so much more than I ever thought they would.
I love a story ad.
She's been converted. Do you know what? It's not even about food and drink. That's just embarrassing. It's wedding dress shops.
Oh, and mine's makeup.
No, literally mine is constantly giving me where I can buy a wedding dress. So I'm literally, and I've never clicked. I'm like,
guys, she's being engaged.
I've never seen so many like Instagram ads that I've genuinely clicked on their stories.
I told you stories is where it's at.
No, but I think I've never been in the market for something so directly, so that like I'm seeing so much of it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I want to have a look at that. I want to have a look at that. And I think it's really interesting now seeing it from such an opposite point of view that I'm not clicking on them to obviously buy. Like these are obviously traffic ads that are running that I'm being targeted because they're not going to make me buy a wedding dress online in first click. But I'm very much
let's hope. Otherwise, they're wasting a lot of money.
Imagine. Yeah, please make sure they're traffic ads in that case. But so I'm obviously going, looking at the brand, having a look at their website, seeing if it's the right vibe. And I think that's where, again, that trust. I'm like, oh, the ads worked.
Yeah.
But then... oh, am I getting the right vibe from their organic socials? And again, that's really important on paid ads on stories.
Yeah.
That if I'm then going to your socials, I want the organic to back it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the piece of, I mean, I've always bought from stories.
Yeah, see, I
always talk about stories.
I would always stand back and say I haven't.
I was the same. And then over the Christmas period, I remember there was a company that was selling it was like a stain remover pen. So it was literally, it was a video ad. And
we're all so excited.
They were just sat down, pair of jeans with some like streak lines on it, like stains, got the pen, rubbed it out. And I was like, oh my God, that's really cool.
Sorry, but stain remover on clothes?
Yeah. It was like a pen, looked like a lipstick, like just something you'd put in your handbag, whipped it out. Right. I watched the whole story ad.
Dead.
This is really cool. And then kind of thought nothing of it. A few days later, my partner goes, oh, I just bought you a Christmas present. It's from an ad, so I probably won't actually get it. I think it was a bit of a scam. My mind instantly went, I wonder if he got sent the same ad that I did.
Please,
The stain remover
pen?
That's the
Phoebe.
I know,
wow, you're really getting old.
I was like, it's targeted both of us, but
is it in your handbag now?
No, I haven't got it, but it's actually really good.
She's bringing it. She's so bringing it everywhere.
So in the show notes, we need to put the link to the stain remover pen
because we know it's really good.
anyway, to what we're here for.
But that is proof. All of us now are fully converted to story ads and how well they work, whether it be traffic or paid directly to get sales.
Yeah.
There is a place for them. It's just you have to give them time.
Yeah. And I think that wraps up the last section.
I think
it does. 2026, three things to focus on, not just purely relying on paid ads.
Yeah.
Quality growth, not loud growth, mm-hmm. and trust as a performance metric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those three things in 2026, cannot go wrong with. And again, if you think about visibility instead of profitability going into this year, mm-hmm. then you are going definitely wrong.
Be loud.
Yeah. So don't be loud. Don't try and just think, I need to be on everything. I need to be everywhere. Think
I feel
about
like
the
if
ones
you're just
working.
Half-assing stuff, you're not really going to get anywhere.
No, and be
consistent. Doing it with intention.
Commit.
Yeah, like you said, be intentional and commit. And then I think you're kind of, you're staying true to yourself. And that's really the value. Like we've said so many times, everything is so oversaturated. So you are the only one who is yourself. And your brand is your brand. So own it. Make everyone fall in love with it like you do. And that is where kind of the foundation will really come in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and talking about foundation building, we have the most fantastic resource that we've spent a lot of time putting together. So it's called our email marketing playbook, and it gives away all of our tips and tricks that we use with our clients around how to grow your email channel. So we've done it with multiple clients, but there's some examples in there of clients who have grown it sort of 50, 60, 70K.
Amazing.
Which is amazing.
In less than a year.
Yeah.
In less than a year. So if you take what we've said today and you're thinking about quality growth, start with your email marketing, go to our website.
Get those flows in.
Yeah, look at our email playbook. It will tell you everything about your automated flows. Yeah. It'll tell you what you need to get in there, about your newsletters, all of those things, segments, all of the stuff that can feel quite complicated.
It's also worth mentioning, it's completely free as well. Like, I feel like you've really just kind of made it sound like this.
Yeah, it's free.
It's totally free to have. So yeah. You're silly to not get it, really.
No, I know. And also, we've had so much good feedback.
Oh my God,
it.
So much.
We spent loads of time on it. We put loads of effort into it because we wanted it to be really useful. And we've had so much good feedback off it. So go and download it. It will pop up when you go to our website. It's totally,
totally free.
Laura. And it's a really useful resource to have.
Yeah.
So think about your audience and start in that place, especially if quarter one is quieter for you.
Now's a really good time. Dive into things, doesn't
it? Yeah, exactly that. But that wraps it up, I think, for today.
Yeah.
Have we missed anything?
I don't think so. I think it's just kind of nice to say, you know,
we're back.
Have a good year.
Yeah.
2026.
I'm so excited.
Every time I write the date for something, I'm like, 2025.
It's really confusing.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? No, I can't believe it.
2026, huns. We're here.
I know. We're here. So what do we say? Like, subscribe.
Like, subscribe, comment, let us know. Let us know if you've been here since the first episode.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
And let us know if you want to come on the pod.
Yeah.
My God, come and take this seat.
I know. And also, quietly in the background, our YouTube channel is growing and we are getting some fantastic comments on there as well. So if you prefer watching these pods instead of listening, we are on YouTube as well. So go and give us a like on there.
Yeah,
but yeah,
do it all, you know.
I know.
Watch us, listen to us, you know, just
all of
a
it.
Chat.
All of it. And that's it. Episode 16 done.
Smashed it.